If you didn't pick that up from David, we are turning the corner here from design to construction. It's an exciting time, so just be praying for us as we move ahead. I do want to make one point. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. And I'd like to just give honor to our Generations Initiative leadership team. Somewhere in the room, David's a part of it. They meet weekly to go through all of this stuff. So while we've not been aware, they're meeting weekly to work through it. And so if we can say thank you to them this morning. If you are a guest with us, so great to have you here. Hard to believe we are mostly through summer. Hard to believe that. And we've been in a sermon series called What Are We Talking About? These ideas we find in the Bible, topics or terms, and they may be things you've heard before, or they may be topics that you have never heard before, or they're topics you've heard of and you've thought, I have no idea what they are talking about. And so this morning, we'd like to look at one of those topics on the topic of repentance. What is it? So if you're willing and able, would you stand this morning for the reading of Scripture? And if you have a Bible, we'll be in Psalm 32. If you have a Bible app, you can turn there. If you don't own a Bible, we have some for free in our lobby as a gift to you if you don't own a Bible. If you have 10, please just let the Bibles be. But if you don't own a Bible, it is our gift to you this morning. And you can follow along on the screen this morning as I read from Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For night and day, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Take a seat. Well, as we look this morning at this topic of repentance in the Scripture, I'd like to talk to you about the gift you didn't know you needed. The gift you didn't know you needed. For many of us, sometimes the hardest thing you can imagine doing is coming clean. Something we did that we know we shouldn't have. Something maybe we're currently doing that we know we shouldn't. Or on the other end, something I know that I should be doing and I'm not doing. This reality in every one of us that knows that way of life. And everyone, if we're honest, we know this to be the case in our own lives. I love the author. He's a psychiatrist, Kurt Thompson. He's a Christian, and he wrote a book on shame and the neuroscience of shame and how it affects us. And And as he's assessing this reality of shame in life, he was asked, who deals with this shame? And his very clinical doctoral psychiatrist answer was, who deals with shame? Anyone with a pulse. So if you're here today and you have a pulse, some of you may not look like you have a pulse, but you, if you have a pulse, this message is for you. And you're not alone. In fact, this is a reality that we have seen lived out in many expressions in our culture. This happened actually recently with a New York public library. They realized one of the hardest things for you and I is to come clean. What they were realizing is many, many books had been lost in circulation because people had forgotten to turn their book in on time, and it was due, and they didn't want to pay the fee, and so they stayed in hiding. The fine was issued, the fine grew, but people continued to stay in hiding. And during this time, not only did the books stay in hiding, but the residents of New York City stayed in hiding. They didn't want to come back to the library. They were dealing with so much guilt and shame for this overdue book that they carried, or books. They didn't even want to come back, and they stayed away, fearful of returning and coming clean. And so, what did the president of the New York public library system do? What did he do in 2021? He said, no more fees. No more late fees. We just want the books back. And honestly, we just want you back. And so in October of 2021, no more late fees were given. And in the process, over the next 4 months, over 90,000 books returned to the New York public library system. Books that had been overdue for many, many years. One book actually so late it was checked out in 1959. Friends, there is a gift you didn't know that you needed. The invitation to come clean. In the Bible, they use the word repentance. It's the Hebrew word shuv. Can you say that? Shuv. There's your Hebrew word for the day. It means to turn or to return. The great reformer Martin Luther said, all of life is repentance. That repentance was never meant to be a one-time thing in your life. It's this continual turning. I've lost my way. I have turned to my own way, and I am returning to my home in and with God through Christ. All of life is repentance. Repentance was not meant to be a place of punishment or torture that you endure. It is meant to be the gift you didn't know that you needed. As we see in this psalm, it becomes the path of joy for you to step into if you would like it. How do we do that? Well, with David here, he gives us a few steps. King David has a pulse. Just like you, just like me. And he needs to shuv. He needs to turn. He needs to return to the arms of his God, and that's what he does here. And here's the first thing we see. Repentance reminds us of the weight you were never meant to carry. Look at what David says in verses 3 and 4. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. David here is describing what a lot of us know firsthand, but maybe we can't put words to it. This is kind of this inner erosion that happens if we will not turn to God with the gift of repentance that he offers us. And notice in this passage, it's not saying that my bones were wasting away, my inner groaning was happening, this inner erosion is happening because I sinned. It's because I remained silent. David doesn't say, when I sin, I waste away. He says, when I kept silent. That's what it does, the silence, the secret we carry. Sin grows in the dark. Like mold, it festers and intensifies in the dark where there is no light. And when we keep hidden from God, from others, from even ourselves, it becomes a breeding ground for shame to take over our souls, to feel as if we are wasting away from the inside. Today, you may feel a little like David, worn out, but you're not quite sure why. Maybe irritable, but I can't name what it is in my life. Maybe your prayers feel very, very dry. Behind all of that may be the need to let go of a weight you were never meant to carry. Romans 2 reminds us of something very powerful. This is what Paul said. He says, do you not know that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? It's God's kindness. God's kindness to you is to give you this opportunity to come clean, to confess, to turn, to come to him and to say, I blew it. And in the process to find your soul receiving the peace of God. Friends, maybe what's draining you isn't your schedule. It's what you're hiding. The website you continually go back to, the lie you told your boss, the bitterness and resentment you're nursing through something someone else did, the secret you've never shared, the image to impress, to hold up that life is better on the outside externally, but inside you know you're withering. David says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. My soul was starved. What are you hiding that is costing you more than you realize? Because this beautiful gift of repentance has entered your life and it says, will you come home? Will you come home to the God who longs to receive you in Christ? Would you name it today? Whatever that you've carried and you've continually maybe punished yourself for, the reality is the gospel says that Jesus has borne that punishment for you. And he says, whatever that is in me, it is no longer a weight for you to carry if you will come to me. Second path of joy, repentance, is the kindness that breaks you open. It's just this sense that you get broken open from the inside by the beauty of God and what he's done for you. This is what David said, verse 5. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Commentators say that this here in this moment becomes the turning point in the psalm for David, that this is the turning point for him to say, I've held on to this. It's a weight that I wasn't supposed to carry. I'm in the kindness of God, receiving the gift of repentance. And in this moment, my soul is broken open to the life that I was meant for. There's a freedom I'm being offered. And this morning, that same freedom, that same invitation, that same gift is being offered to you and me. David comes out of hiding into honesty. And when he comes out, sometimes what we fear, I know I fear this, is I will be met with condemnation. I will be met with, I told you so. But what is David met with? He is met with the beautiful surprise of the forgiveness of God. And this surprise overwhelms David. We even see here over and over how he speaks to this, how God is so quick to respond with forgiveness, how God is so quick to receive him. No lecture, no slow process for letting him back in, just forgiveness. Now, for us this morning, we know that the things that we confess, there are consequences to those actions that we will have to have worked out in our life. We reap what we sow. But what we see here is when we return to God, when we come clean, when we come home to him, when we repent, we are pardoned on the spot through the life of Jesus. And what we see here in Psalm 32, this is the great reminder, this is not just for the first-time offenders. This is for the habitual addiction. This is for the habit hang-ups. This is for the places in your life that you've returned to over and over, and you need this morning to be reminded, even I can be abundantly pardoned. Now, there's a lot of people in this room, so I know there's a cynic somewhere in our midst. And you're saying, Tyler, you don't know my story. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what secrets I carry. This can't be true for me. And I have great news for you. I don't have an answer. But Isaiah the prophet does. And Isaiah 53:55, this is what he says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. Ready to receive you home. Ready to take you into his arms. It's hard for us to imagine, I know, especially when we talk about a holy God like this, who is majestic and glorious and has ways above our ways, but this is what we truly need, the kindness of God and the gift of repentance that breaks us open from the inside. It reminds us that this is a God of love who longs to receive you and set you free. One of the most famous stories we think of in the Bible that talks about this picture of God receiving us home is the parable of the prodigal son. And if you've never heard of the story, it's found in Luke 15 and tells the story of this son who asked for his inheritance early and said, I want nothing to do with you as my father. Basically in that culture, hey, I want you dead. Goes off, spends all of his money in Vegas, probably not Vegas, but some place in Israel. He spends everything and realizes I have nothing left and I have nowhere to go. So he begins to rehearse his speech. The speech that, Dad, I have nowhere to go, but can I just come back and work with the servants? And as he's on his way home, if you know the story, even when he was a long way out, it is as if the father is sitting on the porch with the light on, waiting. Waiting, waiting. Is he coming yet? Is he coming? Is he coming today? I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep searching. And then over the horizon, he sees this long lost son coming home. And before the son can even get to his scripted apology, the father runs. Literally, the text says the father falls on him and begins to kiss him. This is your God. This is the God who says, wherever you have drifted off to, whatever Vegas you've run to, whatever you've squandered, whatever script you've concocted to come home, you don't need it because you're mine. Come home. This is what repentance does. It opens the door to the room where your God, your Father, stands ready to receive you into his arms. He doesn't roll his eyes. He doesn't flinch. Rather, he runs to you. As Isaiah 55 says, he abundantly pardons. I read a story about a little boy who accidentally killed his grandmother's duck in her pond. He was playing by the pond one day with his slingshot and in the process accidentally pulled back and hit the duck, killed the duck instantly. But because he's a little boy, and because he has a pulse just like you and me, he looked around and he said, I don't think anyone saw. So he took the duck and he buried it as quickly as he could and went back inside. What he didn't know was that his sister saw him. And being the sister that she is, whenever she would have to do a chore, take out the garbage, clean the dishes, she would lean over to him and she would whisper, "Remember the duck." Remember the duck. And then this little boy would take off to do whatever she was supposed to do. And then there's a point where she keeps pushing over and over. There's some chore that comes up that she keeps saying, and he finally realizes, my bones are wasting away. This isn't worth it. So he goes to his grandmother and says, listen, I feel horrible. I want you to know I was the one that killed your duck. I'm so sorry. It was an accident. I did not mean to do it. She looked at him and she said, I know. I was actually standing at the window washing dishes when it happened. I've known this whole time. I was just wondering how long it was going to take you for your sister to keep manipulating before you finally realized it was safer to come home to me than living under accusation. Now, in this room, there's probably no one that has killed a duck with a slingshot. If you have, I'd like to know the story. But there's some place in your life and in mine where you have heard the accusing voice of the evil one saying, remember what you did. Remember what you said. Because the evil one wants you to live in isolation. He wants you to live cut off, believing that it's really not a gift to come home. You're just going to get scolded. But the reality is, for each of us, we're invited to come home. That it's the kindness of God to offer repentance, that we can step out into the light. Pastor Steve Brown says it this way: the demons lose their power when they're called out into the light. Where would you need to come clean today? Well, what we know is God says, I will receive you. How, you may be saying, God, how can you receive me? How, with what I've done, with what I carry, how can you receive me? It's the great story underneath all the stories. We know we were made for a better world, but yet we know, am I allowed to live in that new world with you? Here's how you know. Jesus Christ came into the darkest of places. He came into our hiding places, and he didn't stand far off, but he entered saying, you do not have to clean yourself up for me. And on the cross, he took your punishment and mine, your shame and mine, your secret and mine, and he bore it there. And on the cross, he said, it has been done away with. He said these words, it is finished. And what he was saying by that for you and for me is, now there is a gift for you to return home. And this is your way of knowing there is nothing standing between us. Nothing that you need. So how does the gospel take root in your life and mine? You can live in honesty, not in isolation. Kurt Thompson talks about this. He says, we were made for confessional community. We were made for a place where we can be honest with one another, where we can name what we're carrying. We can hand over our failures, our fears, our secret battles to others and know that someone is there to meet us in them. The church I served at in Michigan, we had a community group that was meeting, and one of the gals in the community group confessed that she had been dealing with an eating disorder for many years. And she thought, the second I share that, I'm going to be ostracized from the group. But what she found is we all need confessional communities. In the process of her sharing, she opened the door for others to come clean. Those who confessed addiction, those who confessed things that they were carrying, those who confessed literally, I'm up every night till 4 a.m. playing Call of Duty. But there's a safe place that we receive to be people who are wounded and broken, but find healing in coming home. We become a place of community. Second, as the gospel takes root in you, you will be able to give grace away. So many times it feels like in life we begin to stack up those who it's like, okay, this person, I think, you know, they haven't messed up in a while, so I'm going to give them grace. But this person, gosh, it feels like they're back every week, or this person really hurt me. It's hard to give grace away to that person. But when the gospel begins to take root and you stop asking who deserves grace, you just start giving it away like candy. And you will find in the process in your own life that when you do that, you will be happier and healthier. There's a pastor friend of mine who used to judge very harshly the person at the grocery aisle who showed up in the express aisle with more items than you're supposed to. Has anyone been there? Yeah. I confess, too, that's a hard one for me. To get there, but he was sharing about he was carrying this resentment, and he went through the express aisle. He's running late for a funeral, and this is the only aisle open, but he has 23 items. So he starts making his way down the aisle, and he starts in a way because he has a pulse, and he knows shame. He starts constructing all of his canned goods like a Jenga set to hide some of those in the center so nobody would know. But behind him, he heard someone yell out, "Do you know how to count?" And in that moment, the anxiety and dread that builds up inside, and he turns around to see, as a pastor, his church elder just laughing at him. And they had this great moment of laughter. Folks, that's grace. When grace begins to work in you, it begins to work through you, and you are able to just give it away like candy to others. So here's your invitation. You can walk out of this room today still carrying the burden on your own. And don't worry, the evil one would love for you to do that. He'll be there whispering all this week saying, "Remember." And your bones will waste away. Or today, you can walk out receiving the gift that God longs to give you in repentance. The gift you didn't know you needed. Because in Christ, He has paid the cost. In Christ, you are covered and redeemed. His arms are wide open to receive you. So turn and come home. Let me pray for us. Father, we want to thank you that you are not a God who scolds us when we return, but a Father who runs to meet us. Thank you that through Jesus, our sins are forgiven, our shame is covered. For the person here feeling trapped in silence, would you give them the courage to step out into the light? For the ones who've been in hiding, remind them there's nothing hidden from you, and at the same time, nothing that separates us from your love in Christ. Teach us to be people who confess quickly, forgive deeply, and give grace freely. It's in Jesus we pray, and everyone said, Amen.